Jump around cause you're feeling a pain. Wave you one up in the party and want even no same house money ready. And from the microphone and I'm feeling sexy. And what if I girls and all them love mousy. And shot me shot cause you love me.
Agent Revelio, this is fucking
right,
weird.
Put that down because we're going now.
Talk about Revelio for the whole episode.
Yeah. Revelio's weird because normally when I do it, they just take me straight to the app. Yeah. Not bring me right to the app.
Yeah, I just forget about that though. Anyway.
Oh, stop. I'm the kind of young fella, I just don't stop thinking about something, you know what I mean? Like, I'd want to get things done, you know what I mean? Overthink shit.
Yeah, it's grand. You just took up 15 minutes of the first hour. Right, let's go.
Yeah, fuck, it's not going to work, but yeah, let's just keep part of what we're on about.
Revelio.
I heard it's dirt.
Right, no, we don't usually do intros, but it's just a little introduction from me every week. today we're joined by a good friend of mine, Adam, personal trainer, TikToker.
Or Amandai.
A jack of all trades.
I wouldn't take that. That's an insult, calling someone a TikToker.
He is. Does it all professionally as well.
Nah. Our production
right, so
team.
Today's podcast, I think you're gonna, have you got questions?
A few.
So I already said to Adam, which, because obviously being a good friend of mine and pretty much know nearly everything about him, there's a few things I want to talk about with him, as in we'll probably get into it a little bit deeper into it, but I just, the structure for today would be more so some of the things you want to know, some of the things you're interested in, and then obviously the few little topics I'm going to bring up that we already know about, you know what I mean? But I just said, just for today's episode, you take the reins on the question, so it...
I don't know, because I haven't prepared as well as I should have, you know what I mean? Just because it was all last minute. We were let down a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we just go into the toxic gym
culture, then, will we? Great place to start. Yeah, so, we can just have a conversation. Thing. You can cut all that out, anyway.
We'll keep that. Make it authentic and natural, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't want to sound scripted or fake, because that's just not us.
Yeah. Before we do go into what we're going to talk about, just give a little bit of background from yourself.
So, big into fitness, obviously. Probably says on my Instagram handle, Adam M Fit. I've always been active since a kid. Started off in sports, mainly football. Transitioned in and out of sports from like football, boxing. I think that was the next thing I got into. Then done MMA for a bit, kickboxing. After football, that's when I was kind of doing the gym as well. Like football kind of initially got me started into the gym. And I was always doing the gym in the background, like I was always doing weight training in the background.
So when did you start weight training then?
I started in the gym when I was 13, so 10 years ago, 23, you know, getting old.
we started then, you know, I was a bit of a late bloomer.
I started training, like doing resistance training, you could say, when I was, I think it was around 12, 13, because like, I started playing football was around 7, 8 o'clock. It was like 7, 8 years of age. And from there then, obviously seeing like the fucking sports stars, mainly Ronaldo was looking at his kind of physique, the lean, fucking athletic
low
physique,
body,
you know
fragile,
what I mean? Yeah. Just absolutely ripped, like, you know? Yeah. So that kind of motivated me to, I was like, I want them abs, you know what I mean? I want to be ripped like that. That's what kind of got me started then. So what did I do? I started in my bedroom training. So I got, I don't really know them, but you can get like this, probably still have them now actually. It's like a black thing, it's like a black bar that hooks over the top of your door.
To do
but
pull-ups,
can also
yeah.
hook under, can go underneath your door as well. You can do pull-ups, you can do sit-ups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got one of them. I got my mom and dad to get me one of them and couldn't do a pull-up now. I was trying to do a pull-up for about 7 weeks straight. Got one eventually, but I was just doing sit-ups for endless. So I'd be in bits. I do like 500, 600 sit-ups a night, like. I'd be battered because I had no clue about like
I didn't understand
like programming and stuff, kind of keeping things structured and that, you know. So I was just blasting out as many sit-ups as I can,
and then get the abs trail.
Yeah, I was going over. I had them right beside me, so I go over, do about a set of 100, go over, look and see, don't have any abs. No, back over again and keep doing that until it's fucking dead. Just doing like big body weight movements, like push-ups, squats. I kind of researched more kind of exercise because I literally had no clue what to be doing, you know what I mean? I kind of knew a small bit from like football training because we would do some type of kind of body weight work, you know what I mean, within training. But obviously it's mostly cardio and kind of shuttle runs and all that stuff. And I remember like when I only started the gym and stuff, I wasn't really popular, especially
around my age. Going
like,
back to a bit of football, did you also go to football? Because a lot of people go to gym because they'd be weak, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd get pushed off the ball easily. Yeah. Was there another part of the reason why you went to the gym or started working out?
Not necessarily. It was more just the aesthetic side of things. Just wanted to look good. I was mad about myself back then. Yeah. Still am a bit. Just a little bit. That's the thing, you know what I mean?
The tan.
No, it wasn't really in terms of like sports performance or anything. That's what I was trying to improve. It was more just kind of wanted to look good. And when I got started then, like obviously I started out training in my room, and then I ended up getting like a bench press and a barbell and stuff from my room. I changed bedrooms with my ma had a bigger bedroom at the time, so I could get the bench press put in there. So we got this yoke from Argos, and the max weight was like 30 kg, so I built up to the 30 kg. I remember one night is in there, same thing, I was just going in for like 2-3 hours straight, just bench pressing loads of reps, loads of sets, everything, because again I had no clue. I was just fucking I thought I could do this, I'm gonna try it then, you know what I mean? And then from there, so I was just training, and then there was like this teen gym. I don't know if they still do it in some gyms as well. It's like a teen gym where you bring teenagers in that's under the age of that's the age of 16, because that was like the minimum age.
Mm.
I was 13 at the time. I lied to them. I said I'm 16 because I kind of had good height. You know what I mean? So they believed.
Did you have the beard at the time?
No. It took me time to grow that. But yeah, it was like £2 to get in, and you could use the gym, but you're only allowed to use the treadmill though. So I was going in, same thing, crazy amounts of volume. I was just sprinting for fucking ages. And then that's all we could use then. So I was only in there for like an hour or so using the treadmill, and then I'd leave. And then from there, then what happened? See, my dad was doing like in my dad's job, they're doing like a day out where they could bring your son in and they'd go to the gym with them. So I remember going to the gym with that one day, and we're on the leg press. Remember as well, actually, I was using the leg. This is the first time using like any type of like fitness equipment, and I was ideally, you don't want the weight to kind of slam when you're using the thing.
Of course.
What did I do? I'm going to through the
whack her up and bang,
smashing the fucking weights off the stack. And I was the type of person where if I was doing something wrong, I'd beat myself up bad for it. You know what I mean? I'd get in the hardest then, and I wouldn't do it then. So that's what happened. I kind of
literally spoke about that a minute ago about myself on the exact same.
Like I was at the start, and then I adapted more to things then. Of course, you know what I mean? I kind of got a better attitude towards things then. But I remember that I done like once on the leg press, hated it, and then left. And then I think I came back then to that teen gym thing, and there was no staff in the gym at the time. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to go out to the weight section. So I went out to the dumbbells, picked up two set of dumbbells and started bicep curling. Again, had no clue what I was doing. I was kind of just watching other people kind of seeing what they were doing and kind of copying them almost. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was just doing that consistently then, and I just took to it. I kind of loved it, you know what I mean? It was kind of something for me to do outside of school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, I didn't really have mates at the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was just spending time by myself doing nothing. So I was like,
kind of an escape now, and it's something.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. But yeah, that's kind of a long intro.
Listen, you can talk all day. We just sit back and listen. But going back to it, sorry.
Yeah, see how you said, like, before I interrupted you said you weren't the most popular bloke, I'm assuming, at school, right?
Yeah.
Were you getting bullied?
I did get bullied, but I didn't get bullied in school.
Where'd you get bullied?
I had mates when I was, like, let's say, like, I obviously had mates when I was kind of a kid and stuff, but then I was around the age, maybe 13. When I was kind of starting the gym, I think I was maybe from, like, 10 to 13 or so, I was kind of hanging around with these mates. And the funny thing is, I was younger than them, and when I first met them, I lied to them about my age because they were older than me, just so I could kind of fit in with them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I kept that going for like fucking 2-3 years, didn't tell them my age. It's just something stupid, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a big deal, but
it was what happened then? Yeah, I kind of just split off with them then. Like, they're really good mates, and I kind of regret that not sticking around with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of just split off with them, done my own thing, and kind of just, because naturally I think that's the type of person I am anyway. I'm more of an introvert, you know what I mean? I like time on my own, but there's only a certain amount of time you spend.
You build that up as well, don't you? You build that up over time, being alone and being comfortable Spain alone, you know what I mean? You
have definitely 100. Like,
it's not just something you go and do. Like, it's something you have to get used to because you're in that situation, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
you're
alone
a lot. So now it's, you need to be used to being alone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you need to start.
But like, that's the thing is, like I didn't mind being alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I kind of
so
enjoyed doing my own
being
thing.
Alone,
you know what I mean? I
enjoyed
because like, I was the one that made decisions, didn't have to kind of take anybody else's opinion into account.
Or follow somebody.
You know what I mean? If I want to do something, I'm going to do it within reason, obviously. You know what I mean? So, football was a big thing. I really liked football. I kind of enjoyed it and stuff. And the gym just kind of took over then, mainly because that's what kind of stopped me then doing football. I kind of switched into the gym and kind of just went full forward with that then. And then, obviously, throughout, like, my finished journey, I was kind of doing other sports as well, such as, like, MMA, boxing, shit like that, because I was still interested in the sport aspect of things,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And is it the competing part of it, or is it just, not the cardio side, but you know what I'm trying to say? Is it the competing, more so competing and beating somebody, or is it just the type of training that you're doing?
The hell out of everyone. Are you joking?
Yeah, of course.
No, it wasn't even the... It was more just kind of, I wanted to do something new, you know what I mean? And kind of...
Try something and see how you get on.
Yeah, just try something and kind of see how we get on with it. Because even, it's kind of a funny story as well, where when I was playing football, I used to be always on my toes a lot, and I used to always be bouncing. So like, I'd be running down the field,
now,
but I'd be bouncing after them. And my dad used to go to matches now with me, like, you need to be kind of running and not bouncing after them, you know what I mean? So I was like, I think he was the one that said it then, you should kind of try boxing. Because, like, on your foot, I kind of had really good footwork and stuff, you know what I mean? So I got into boxing then, and I just took to it like duck like water.
Yeah.
I was fucking, like, not sound cocky now, but I was pretty good at it, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I remember when I was in the gym and stuff, they had, like, a boxing room, and I go up and I just do, like, rounds in the heavy bag and stuff, and people would be coming over to me saying, you have really good technique. I'm like, do I? Yeah, like, I had no clue.
And that's not you being confident then, because other people notice this, so that's not you just going, no, I ain't good at this, and nobody actually validated that.
Yeah.
Or you validating yourself, somebody is saying it. So it's not just something that you think of and go, I'm fucking unbelievable at this.
Most of the time, you're sure, and then you're like that.
Exactly.
So when people are saying it to me, like, I kind of question myself, I was like, right, maybe this is something that I kind of do. And I was kind of got into boxing then. Enjoyed it, and I don't know though. I'm the type of person that gets bored doing the same thing all the time, you know what I mean? So I was kind of in and out of that, doing boxing, always doing gym in the background as well. I would always kind of go in and do weight training, and then I kind of switched into what else did I do then? I think I was just doing like kickboxing, and then from kickboxing, I then went into like MMA, doing jiu-jitsu style training, and and then ultimately I just kind of stayed with the gym. That was my main thing, you know.
And what made you leave all of the sports then?
Nothing specific. Like, I can't really think of anything specific. Like, I think it was kind of as well just to kind of get the experience in it.
Yeah.
And doing it, you know what I mean?
So having a discipline as well, isn't it?
So
the likes of kickboxing and stuff like that, sparring will put you in your place.
Oh, 100%. I remember I went to... Because what happened is, like, when I was doing the MMA, I signed up in SBG, done like 6 months in there. Done like 6-7 months in there. I think the jiu-jitsu training was fucking unreal, man. I wanted to kind of really experience that, but that's a whole other level of training.
Yeah.
And respect anyone that does any type of jiu-jitsu training.
Super
intense.
It's
next level training, you know.
And have I tried wrestling there?
I think I done a wrestling class up in SPG.
That's something that really interests me.
Wrestling just takes the life out of you. Like, I used to train MMA as well, and whenever I'd wrestle, like, I'd be done for the whole day. Do you know what I mean? And it's what, 11 in the morning, 12 at noon, we'd start me training, and then after that, I'm just done. Do you know what I mean?
See, it takes a lot for a person to be doing that as well, because a lot of these professionals even are training four different disciplines a day. So they'd start in the morning with the sparring, with the boxing, then they do a bit of Muay Thai, and they might do a bit of BJJ in the afternoon, and then they're going to do the wrestling that night. It's like, how do you even...
I don't know how they're able to function.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. My body's broke up after the weigh session yesterday. Can you imagine me rolling around mats for hours, man? Being bits.
Yeah, even the jiu-jitsu side of things, is like it's serious cardio. And I remember doing the first class, and there was we were rolling and stuff, and I think it was like 15, 20 minutes into it, and I was absolutely beat. And the instructor said, "Right, that's the warm-up done. Get ready, stand up against the wall." I'm lying down on the ground. Oh, yeah, man, bits. And I was like, "Is he serious? I'm planning on walking out." I was like, "Fuck it, just keep on going, just keep on going." I think the class was like an hour long or something. And so we were doing different drills and stuff, and I got choked out by this woman about 3 times. That humbled me. I was like, shit, man, it doesn't matter who the person is, like, you know what I mean? It's a sport.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
the
yeah.
discipline, you know what I mean? It
doesn't matter gender, body shape, or gender, or size, or, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's technique to it as well, and if somebody is way yeah. ahead of you with the technique, well, then you don't stand a chance, yeah. regardless of gender, size, gender, any
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like you need some amount of patience as well to kind of stick with it, because I'm yeah. sure it gets frustrating. You know what I mean? When you kind of can't get certain moves and stuff, you can't get the technique. But they kind of have that patience to kind of stick it out and do something that you don't see results in. Because, like, I think that's one of the hardest things you can do, actually. Is like, put work into something, but don't see the results from it.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and it can
really challenge you mentally.
Yeah.
To be pumping your heart. Like, I done it, obviously, without dieting. I'm just trying to use an example from myself. When I was lifting weight, I was doing, you know, obviously you get the beginner gains and stuff like that, but I'd be lifting weights, I'd be 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, killing myself in the gym and seeing nothing. Obviously down the field, I know that, but yeah. going back to it, that's an example of training for 5-6 weeks and not seeing anything. Yeah. Just going in the same direction constantly. Yeah. Now, obviously, I had to change my diet, but I was still putting the hours in the gym, lashing myself out, lifting heavy weights, doing it all, and just never changing. The body just looked the same 6 weeks later. You know what I mean? And it can really get to you mentally, because you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So you're putting so much effort into it.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely look at.
Yeah, and another thing is, like, it causes you to look at yourself even more. Do you know what I mean? You realise what the fuck is going on. You're more self-reflective. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And like, going back to me then, it was like, that's me diet.
Yeah, change exactly
it. Mm. Get on a decent
not enough calories.
Not enough calories, not enough protein. Or not enough even carbs, because I use a lot of energy, so I'd keep me diet on high carbs, just because I'm going to use it all up. So it works for me to be high on carbs, but I wasn't doing any of that, lads. I was probably eating twice a day or something. Do you know what I mean? And thinking, this is enough for a protein shake and a dinner. That's enough for me. You know what I mean? You go to the gym the next day, 5 kilo feels like 25. I can't make up that. But it is, it's humbling, you know?
Yeah, on our way to the studio, we talked a lot about diet and sleep being important. Sleep is huge. A lot of people don't realise. A lot of people say it's the training and the diet, but sleep is massive. Do you know what I mean? You could be spot on with your training, you could be spot on with your diet, but you have one bad night of sleep, you have a shit session the next day. I've been there, right? So I think it was last week or something like that, 2 weeks ago, right? Everything was on point. I was doing all right, I was eating well, I was training well, right? I wanted to do my PR from my bench, which is 60. Still haven't got it yet, so it's 55. So I tried to go up to 60, because my energy level at the time, I felt all right. I tried 50, you know, warm up a little bit. Walked to the 54, felt all right. And then once I got to the 60, I couldn't even do half a rep.
Yeah.
And then
I hope someone was there to help.
Yeah. I had a spot on. I actually have a video, right, where I actually did bench all right. It was just bringing it back up to the fucking rack. I just struggled. It's like, boom, right at me. All right, now
I have a video that humbles you, that doesn't you put too much weight in the bar.
I have a video that's fucking.
Oh, yeah. If I don't have a spotter, and I know I'm going to try a PB or anything like that, I won't leave clips on either side. So if it's not coming on, you just put it up that way and it slides off. You know what I mean? Slides off
anyway,
that way. Get up, fellas. You got it.
But anyway, going back to my story, obviously, when you fail something like that, of course you are upset. Of course you're angry. Those fucking inside us, feeling like outside, like on the outside, from an outsider's perspective, I was always like, whatever, it is what it is. Yeah. It's all right. But inside, I was broken up by it. Do you know what I mean?
That's my problem. I show it.
Yeah.
You can tell it straight away with me. 100%. Yeah. I show it all on my face.
The thing is, inside, I was fucking fuming.
Of course.
At that time, those would be times where I'd be really self-reflective and I'd be figuring out, like, what went wrong. My diet's all right. My fucking training's all right. What's going on? And then I was just looking back, thinking about where I got wrong, and it was like, sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep is huge. And like I said, he's on the way. Like, wake up at the same time, go to bed at the same time. Look, waking up, I struggle with that, you know what I mean? Because there will be days when I'd wake up early in the morning, say 6 in the morning, I'd feel fresh. And then there'll be other times I'd be bollocks, so I'd just wake up all the way to fucking 11, 12. Then I'd feel all right, you know what I mean? But what's constant is I always go to bed at the same time. I always go to bed around 11 o'clock at night. That'll be the time where you go to bed, you know what I mean? Sleep is important.
It's like, so important.
Like, what your body goes through during the sleep, so it's fucking mad.
Yeah.
Like, ever seen Matt Walker?
Yeah.
Go read his book, Why We Sleep. Haven't read it yet, but I'm looking into reading it soon. It's fucking little. It's the things that your body goes through when you're sleeping. Like, he was on Joe Rogan, he was on Andrew Huberman.
I'm listening to his podcast with Huberman right now. You've shown me that fucking when we were training for the half marathon, didn't
it's
you?
It's unbelievable.
Because what you were saying earlier about bouncing, I do that with me walking. So Stacey will always wind me up. Stacey, my missus, for people that don't know, but she always winds me up doing my walk, and she walk down the road and bounce, because that's how I walk. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I walk on my toes.
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
It's like, even like when I'm running, it's kind of all right, but he showed me, he was like, because I was running on my toes constantly, and when you're on your toes, you're more so in a sprint kind of run.
Yeah.
And he showed me Huberman, and that's when I learned it's like try, what is it, come down four off your strike. Heel, is it?
Yeah, 4 foot strikes. Yeah, basically, like, think about like the 3 points of contact on your foot, so like your heel, midfoot, and then 4 foot is like the front part of your foot.
Yeah.
So, like, if you kind of have that motion where it's like the heel first, that kind of stops the impact against the ground, and then midfoot that kind of balances out the weight, and then the 4 foot is kind of springing off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to take your next step. Now, it's awkward as fuck to try and get used to it, but once you get used to it, then you're not even thinking about it then, do you know what I mean? But I need that for me walking, because as I said, I'll be bouncing the whole way down the road, you know what I mean?
It's kind of feel unnatural for you though, because you're kind of, I'm guessing that's just due to your posture, you know what I mean? You're more kind of forward in space. I think I was telling you that you kind of have an anterior orientation where it's more forward, like your bone structure is. So you just kind of have to like re-dial things. We are kind of just focusing more on kind of shifting your weight towards the back of your body, as opposed to kind of more forward, you know what I mean? Because I see, like, does your heels lift when you squat? You ever noticed that?
Not that I noticed.
Because like, if you're more on the front part of your foot, and obviously your heels lifting, so maybe you squat and do any kind of lower body movements, the heel will start to lift, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just a posture thing.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I was saying to you earlier, I haven't trained legs in a while until now, because we're doing the marathon, but I might try to have a look at that now the next time I do a squat, you know what I mean? Because we have squats and deadlifts in the workouts, but yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just something that I've always been that way anyways. Like, only now that people are pointing it out that I'm kind of taking a notice to it, you know what I mean?
You had all that flow up on the way, you know?
Yeah, bounce. But yeah, now going back to what we were talking about sleep and importance in the gym. But yeah, a lot of people's schedules can be different as well. So like, there will be people that are listening to this that they will struggle. Have you any recommendations for people that struggle with sleep personally?
Depends what you say when it's struggle. Like, do you actually have a genuine problem where you have insomnia, or is it just a case of like, stop scrolling on TikTok late at night?
I think,
you know what I mean, because it's,
I think 99% to be stop scrolling on TikTok.
I'll say it in the real way. I'm not going to say it the nice way. Just get the fuck off TikTok. Just be disciplined, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's fucking hard. You're just addicted to your fucking phone. That's the problem.
I'm addicted to my phone, so I'm not even going to say anything, but I am.
Just get off your fucking howl and just go to sleep, right? Force yourself, you know what I mean?
There's that way of doing things, then a lot of people are like, I'm responding that way. Like, fuck you.
I'm planning, right? Because I'm in college, I'm planning on starting my own PT business in the summer. Well, after the summer, because I'm going away as well. So after I'm back home, I'm planning on starting my own business. Like, I'm thinking, might be the bad cop, do you know what I mean? There's a good cop, bad cop thing, like Jared Redmond was talking about. Like, he's the bad cop, and I kind of feel like I gravitate towards that, do you know what I mean? Because when I be harsh towards myself, that's when I'm at my very best. When I go soft, I just go
down here, bro, because when we're on the, all soft on each other, when we're all soft on ourselves, it's like you get away with more, though. You can do what you want. Yeah. You're too soft on yourself.
Yeah,
you
that's the thing.
Be disciplined and to do the things that we love doing between the three of us, because we're all very similar in terms of fitness. But to do all of that, You have to be harsh on yourself. You have to be. Yeah. You have to face reality. You can't just assume, oh, I can do. I can the odd day. I can take off, or I can sit up all night scrolling on TikTok or YouTube Shorts. Yeah. I can do all this and still get. You can't get away with it.
Yeah,
and from somebody. Thing, yeah. Sorry, bro. Go on.
Yeah, I was just wanting to continue my point. Like, before you know it, you're gonna be a fucking degenerate. That's the thing. No disrespect to anyone listening. If you go on TikTok all night and not go to bed,
bro,
at the time you want to go,
please.
There.
There's too many people that are like that, and you're gonna. Ruffle a few feathers.
So what is the truth?
I know.
It's the truth. The thing is, I want to be harsh on people.
We're part of a small percentage of people who are.
You're a degenerate.
No,
but
well, like we're talking about like a big portion of people that are kind of like scrolling on TikTok,
and sometimes that's an escape.
Yeah, like isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, like, definitely. Because like, my girlfriend, she does the exact same thing.
It's same,
like,
yeah.
My fiance, should I say?
Hey, get it out.
Like she does the same thing in the night time. She kind of uses like social media
Misses me.
Kind of like just help her kind of relax. You know what I mean? And then it's like we try. It's definitely seen in the fitness space as well nowadays. Yeah. It's like trying to optimize everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Should be kind of sleep at this time. We should have like this amount of meals per day. And like there's a lot of PTs that's like that. Where I'm not necessarily like that.
Yeah.
With my clients, especially, it's like. Find them more, like ultimately what I try to do with my clients is like find them what's most convenient for you and trying to do that so you can kind of get results then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
I'm not
going to
give you a plan that's going to go completely against your lifestyle, your schedule, what your interests are, because you're not going to see any results. Well, you maybe will for like first 3 or 4 weeks or something, and then you're going to fall off.
I think you are way too harsh there.
That's the thing.
No,
that's
I think
like
you are. Because
sorry,
no, let me finish my point for 2 minutes because I think. If we talk about percentages here, I think I'm not saying we're playing better than anybody, but I think we're part of a minority, let's say, of people that do really, really want change, really, really want to get bigger or change their physiques and do all the right things to get to that. I think the way you're saying degenerates and stuff like that, I think there's more of a percentage of people that do what we're talking about than what we actually do ourselves. So I think painting all of them with one brush just because of what they do and what their habits are, I think is really harsh towards a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, I think
what we do,
like the three of us here, especially like because we train and we know, we understand, you've done your PT course, you've done your BT course. And I said it so many times that I'm constantly around personal trainers. Constantly. All my mates are in the gym. All my mates are into fitness. He's one of my best mates. You're a good friend of mine now. Both of you have done your courses. My brother-in-law has been a personal trainer. He's given me more information on the gym than more than anyone I've ever heard from, right? He was under a coach who has thousands of followers on Instagram. I'm constantly around and getting new information, so I'd say I'm well educated in the subject, and if I have any questions, I've so many people to answer them for. But I think we're part of a small percentage of people who are actually working and putting the efforts in with the sleep, with doing things outside of the gym, making sure you're eating the right things, making sure you're doing your steps, your cardio, you're doing all of this stuff. There's not that many people out there that go to the gym more than 3 times a week. That isn't, and that's the reality. A lot of people could be going to the gym 5 days a week, but as I said earlier, my body didn't change because I didn't put the work in. I didn't do the diet. That was my downfall. But yeah, I probably at that time I thought I was doing everything right and looking at myself and saying, oh, look at me, I'm great. Do you know what I mean? So by painting a lot of people with the degenerate brush that you're at the day on, I just think it's really harsh, bro, to be honest.
Yeah, the thing is, the way you see things is, because I'm harsh towards myself and I feel that's what I get the best out of me, do you know what I mean? I feel like I should be harsh to other people because that would get the best out of them. Because if I'm being soft on them, I feel like I'm enabling them to keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Touching on
have
that,
to
though.
Be harsh on them, do you know what I mean? Make sure that they're proper disciplined.
Oh yeah, I think you understand in terms of like when you're going to be doing your coaching,
like,
and stuff.
Get your shit together.
No, I understand that. Like if there's someone coming to you and they want to be coached and you've so many bad habits, it's on you to be like, listen, we're not going to get any results here by doing what you're doing and keep up doing what you're doing, because at the end of the day, you've too many, you're too lazy or whatever it may be. But I think even going back to Adam, like if I said it to him earlier on, we done 600 meter sprints. and breaks in between. But I said to him earlier on, if he wasn't there, I'd have done three. And it's not because he was saying to me, get your fucking shit together, or don't be fucking just acting the bollocks and finish on three. It was just because I was there with
we had
mate.
A whip instead.
Yeah, all that. But it was because I had him there beside me.
Yeah.
And looking at him motivates me. So yeah. I think when it comes down to coaching, obviously, you set the example.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to set the example to your clients. Like, I'm not going to go to a personal trainer or a coach and who doesn't train properly, who doesn't diet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I look at the two of you, I'd probably go, no, they do that shit right. But you have to set an example. That's when you start to build up a brand or build up a business by setting that example, not being like, get your fucking shit together, like being too harsh on someone. Because at the end of the day, lads, if I went to a personal trainer, don't get me wrong, I like people being harsh on me. I prefer people to be harsh on me. When I say the wrong thing, I want someone to call me out on it if it's wrong towards a specific person. If I say a certain thing and someone texts me and be like, Ross, I didn't like what you said because such, mm-hmm. I apologise. I didn't mean to harm you. I didn't mean to say it that way. Call me out on my shit. When you're too harsh on someone can come to you, and if you're being like boom boom boom, they're just gonna fuck off.
Thing is, like, I don't
genuinely
mean,
like, you'd be out the door after two sessions.
I just want to say, like, I don't mean degenerate in a derogatory kind of way. Like, I'm saying it as in, like, that's how I view myself back then. Do you know what I mean?
No, of course.
Before we got to the fitness space and getting me shit together, shall we say.
And it's a lot. It's
just
a lot.
The way I view myself, and I know I shouldn't paint people with the same brush, but I find it hard to dissociate myself.
And look,
people,
at the end of the day, bro, people that do
not,
that do scroll on TikTok, like, they probably don't give a fuck about the gym and the physique.
That's what I was kind of the point,
like,
I was trying to end the
I don't mind,
as
I don't
well,
mind so. Scrolling on TikTok, but moderate it. If you take too long on it, if it consumes you, that's what we have me
but
issue.
That's, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What were you saying, Adam? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, there's some people that don't train, and I'm not kind of advising not training. Obviously, some type of physical activity is good, but it's like, people do what they want.
At the end of the day, for anybody listening to this, social media is not a great thing to be on anyway. Don't get me wrong, I'm on it constantly myself, and I'm constantly posting stuff and stuff like that, but I'm using my social medias as a tool at the minute to try and grow and to try to make this podcast what it is now and make it bigger, you know what I mean? But going back to it, and I share my opinions and my views on my social media, so I'm constantly on it, so I can't say nothing about nobody being on social media, but going back to it, not everybody trains. Not everybody wants to be healthy. Not everybody does, like, goes out and walks every single day to make sure that they don't put on too much fat. Like, I know best mates of mine who probably should train but don't, and I'm not going to be the one to go and, listen, you need to get your ass in the gym. Don't get me wrong, I will point them in the right directions to get in fit and healthy. But the whole reason I train, and why I've always gotten into fitness, is I don't want to get to an age, right, where I have a big, huge belly, and I have a 3-year-old running around the gaff, and when he runs up the stairs, I'm heavy breathing at the top of the stairs. And that's always what's in my mind. Now, every single person, I guarantee two of you have a different answer. Every single person trains for a different reason, for a specific reason, whether that be one specific reason, for a whole lot of different reasons. I'm just saying, lads, I don't want to get to an age where I can't get up and down the stairs, or where I can't walk 5 meters without going. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what scares me. It's like, that's why I train. I don't train to look fucking unbelievable. I don't train. Don't get me wrong, it's great. It's genuinely great validation for yourself after all the work you put in to see the physique that you're at the building. But my whole bit, I just want to be healthy. That's my whole thing about training.
Like,
the thing is,
oh, you got it. Some people don't want to train, well and good, right? Yeah. But I'm just thinking, like, in my head, like, if I'm a PT and I have a client, like, I'm going to give that client everything I've got, 110%. That's why I'm going to be harsh, because I expect that client to give me 110% back.
Yeah.
I don't want 109%. Or, you know, 100% is the bare minimum, right? If you give me 99%, then I'll be fuming, you know what I mean? Because that's not enough. I want you to give it everything you've got. Because if you're not, it'll just be wasting my time, because I'm giving you everything I have.
This is a great chat. There's
back.
A lot, but there's, as we said, like, don't give it, this is a great conversation, but there's a lot of different factors in people's lives. Like, so many different things. Like, someone could be training with you and could be giving you 99%, and that's probably all they have. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know sometimes you want the best out of everyone. You want them to be putting in the work. But say, for instance, someone doing 9,000 steps instead of 10,000 steps one day could really affect their mental health, because it has with me in the past, where I didn't get me 10, and you're so obsessive with a number that not what's 1,000 steps more one day? Do 11 tomorrow. Or they were fucking 12 the next day, you know what I mean? I was so obsessive about the numbers. My calories had to be bang on. My steps had to be bang on. It's like, don't get so caught up in the numbers, you know what I mean? Like, if someone's giving you 99%, maybe on that day, they only have 80%. Do you know what I mean?
Being too harsh,
I'm just saying, bro, from my side of things, looking in, being too harsh on somebody can make them go away. Simple as that.
The way you see it is, give it 100%. Depending on your circumstances, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. 100% like, I know there's that circumstances you have on the involved, day.
But still, like, you can't give 99% for me. That'll be an excuse. Give 100%. Even say, like, you can't train as hard as he did the other day because he got sick. Say, give me 100%.
Of what you have.
Of what you have.
Yeah.
Given the circumstances, that's what I expect. If 100%. You don't do that, then you're wasting me fucking time. That's the way you
see it. But I always said that as well. How do you see that in terms of your clients, like people you work with? Is there big benefits from being harsh?
Maybe
on people?
I'm being harsh. I know I'm being harsh. Maybe I'm being a bit mean, but
I'm not calling you out. This is a great conversation.
Some people will say, yeah, he's being a dickhead and all that, but I feel like people need that.
That's the way you want to build your business or build your brand or whatever it is with your personal training. But I think you're being a bit too harsh on certain people. We haven't mentioned anybody, but I think you're being too harsh on a percentage of people that either don't train, or if they do come to train, maybe that's all they have. But just going into it as you,
maybe,
or someone that is working with clients at the minute, how do you, are you harsh, or you just said a minute ago that you kind of walk around their way of living and then find the benefits through that and trying to make sure that they can stick to your plan or stick to training?
It's definitely an interesting point you're bringing up, but yeah, now I'm all like, ultimately, what is the end goal? For them to see results. And obviously you can get specific in terms of results, fat loss, muscle gain, stuff like that, you know? And then if they're getting the results, then there's no problem. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's this whole thing of like optimization and kind of trying to find problems to kind of find a solution then with it. You know what I mean? Whereas like, they're in the straight paths, they're making progress. We don't need to kind of get around the specifics of things, you know what I mean? Especially people kind of fall into the idea as well when they only start training is like, oh, should I have like a meal before training or after training, or is it kind of bad to do it that way or that way? Just do the basics. Just train. You know
what I
mean?
That's weird. I got
just
obsessive
train,
though, bro.
Get a certain amount of kind of meals in per day and just work with what you used to do.
Yeah.
And from that, then most likely you're going to see results. And as you get more experience with training, then you can maybe look into more of the detailed stuff then.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
That's where I got obsessive, and that's a problem, being so obsessive on the number. So I got, when I was under coaching, you say, for instance, 90 minutes before training, have chicken and rice. So I'd have that food ready, and bang on 90 minutes I was sitting down with that. Do you know what I mean? How specific I was getting to me training.
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing, but it can be. It can drive you away.
It can be
very
toxic.
Quick.
Yeah, it can
very,
be toxic,
very quick
yeah.
because
yeah.
it gets so monotonous. Is that the word?
Monotonous.
It gets so monotonous that you're so obsessive on it that you're just like, do you know what? Fuck this shit, man. And then I got to the point where I used the excuse of, like, a family member passing away to not train, but that was me way away from the numbers. If you get me, like, at the time, it did hurt what had happened. It hurt. But then, without letting just a week when it happened go away or whatever, I turned that into 2 weeks, and the 2 weeks to 3 weeks, and the 3 weeks to four. And then eventually I was like, fuck all this shit, man. All I'm doing is waking up at the same time every single morning, having me breakfast at the same time every single morning, lads. Having me pre-workout meal every time, 90 minutes, bang on before. Going to the gym for 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, without fail, 5 days a week. Doing the exact same workouts. Obviously, you change things here and there, but I was doing the exact same workouts. And then that was my excuse. Fuck all of that. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's all about the effort, not the numbers.
Yeah.
That's what people need.
100%. Look at me now, lads. Yeah. I just fucking enjoy my training, enjoy my meals. Like, I'm not eating bad food. I'll have the odd bad food here and there, but who cares? I don't. Do you know what I mean? I'm enjoying myself. And at the end of the day, when it comes down to fitness, it's all about what you just said. It's what's the end goal for you specifically. Not for me to tell you what to do. I don't want to go to someone and say, yeah, you need to lose weight. I'm not going to go to someone who's, like, skinny, because I was in that situation, and go, hey, bro, you need
need to fucking get in the gym. Do you know what I mean? It's just you're putting
it's definitely a thing that people fall into, and it's kind of the obsession mindset of kind of just again trying to optimize everything. And I've definitely dealt with that with my clients. And sometimes you don't really blame them. It's kind of easy. It's just kind of what's normal for people to fall into. You know what I mean? Like a big one is kind of the weighing scales. It's like weighing themselves like every day, trying to like it's just down to expectation. That you know what I mean? Trying to expect a certain number, and then if they don't hit that, then you get like a feeling of kind of regret and kind of like beat themselves up about things. Bro, you know what I mean?
Even on the scale. So say for instance, when we were on the cut, say when I started my cut, I think I was 78. Right? Say 1 week. Say this week, right, say I weighed myself today, for instance, what we Tuesday, right, say this Tuesday I weighed myself, right, and I was 76.2, right, and in 7 days, if I was 76.2, I'm gone for the week, mentally gone for the week, I can't do it, I'm not doing it, I'm not eating enough, I need to, and just got so obsessive with things that I was like, I just can't enjoy this type of lifestyle, do you know what I mean? And now, like, at the stage, it's just, eat good food, full foods that's going to fill you up so you're not going on that binge eating a fucking shy. Make sure I go training and just make sure I stay active and fit, and that's all that matters at the end of the day, because that's for me personally, that's what's making me go to the gym every single day is how I'm feeling about it.
I think I try to get across to my clients as well, it's like, let's say you're trying to hit like a certain goal, let's say in terms of fat loss you're trying to lose like 0.2 kg per week or so, and some weeks you go up your weight, but then the following week you get back down your weight. That week that you kind of went up your weight, then, no, that's not to say that you're actually at the increase in your body fat, but let's say you did, they kind of beat themselves up for it, but the point to try to get across to them is like, if you kind of zoom out and look in the grand scheme of things, if you're doing it in with a long-term frame in mind, which I kind of feel people should do when they start off training the gym, is kind of looking at their training and the kind of way of training, is this something that I can sustain long-term? And the thing of like, they mess up some weeks, it's like, if you zoom out, that's irrelevant. That week is irrelevant, you know what I mean? Because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Because you're going to get back on top of things the following week then. You know what I mean? Because it's a long term.
Like you were saying, so if you had someone, say, for 8 weeks, and when they start with you, just saying, just using a quick number here, say, there's a woman that started with you on 70 kilo, put that down to, say, 65. But then they go up to 65.5. Don't look at the half you're at the gaining. Look at the 4.5 you're at the bringing it down, rather than looking at the, because that's a big positive to look at, that you lost 4 kg. But you're focused on that 300 fucking
grams.
Sorry. That you're at the putting on, rather than hang on a minute, I started here at 70, I'm down at 65.5 now, and now I'm just worried about that half I'm at the putting on, rather than the 4.5 you had taken off.
It kind of brings up a good point in terms of like motivation, where you get motivation from. A lot of people I feel are extrinsically motivated, so when I say that I mean like something that's kind of more external, so like let's say in terms of marathon, trying to get a medal, in terms of training in the gym, trying to get a six pack, it's all kind of external, where intrinsically motivated people tend to get better results on the longer time frame. And an example of someone that's intrinsically motivated is someone that kind of enjoys the process of things, you know what I mean? Because like, who's gonna kind of go further, the person that kind of loves walking, or the person that loves running marathons, or the person that wants to get a medal at the end of it? Someone that enjoys the process more is kind of gonna make better progress and kind of better results on a longer time frame, as opposed to someone that's just kind of in there checking their abs every week and see if they got a six pack. You know what I mean? And that's another point I try to get across to my clients, is like, try to just enjoy the process. If you enjoy the process, you're enjoying it, you do good work in the things that you enjoy, and the results will take care of themselves then. You know what I mean? Because that's where the results are. It's just the fucking result of your work that you're putting in now. So the more kind of effort and kind of attention to detail they kind of focus on what you're doing now in the gym, for example, then the results will kind of take care of themselves over time, you know.
Anyway, I want to switch the topics, because there was a reason why we wanted to bring you on. You had an experience with homelessness, living in hostels. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Just going whack straight into it, obviously,
we need the context first.
Yeah, of course. So there was obviously a process in coming up to that. Obviously you don't have to go right into the specifics of everything that you went through, so I just want to ask you a question. Where do you come from originally in terms of area?
The Liberties, Dublin, like,
right, the Liberties. So what did that, obviously you spoke to us about
growing up in sports, your motivation, stuff like that, working with your clients. But did you have, before going into the topic we're going to discuss here, did you have things that led your mindset down the wrong way or to affect you mentally before you went through, obviously, the process of ending up in homeless hostels or anything? But from a young age, had you got things that would affect you mentally in the area or just...
I think I know what you mean. So like being in environments that's kind of going to impact me negatively. Yeah, is that what you mean? Kind of like with the, I'm trying to think back now. Not necessarily, because again, coming back to what I said at the start, I always kind of kept to myself. You know what I mean?
So like, comfortable being alone anyway.
At a young age, I was kind of doing sports. That kind of gathered most of my attention. Then obviously in school and stuff. Then outside of school, then I just go to the gym. Yeah. So like that was my routine then, you know what I mean?
So it's just
but no, definitely like
obviously in every year, because I'm just asking, being from the inner city, I've seen my mental health go down the drain because of the environment I was in up there, do you know what I mean? So it was just an interesting question to see if it
thankfully like even the mates that I was hanging around with and stuff, they didn't really kind of get into any of that shit, you know what I mean? Let's say in terms of drugs and stuff.
Happy days.
So I was kind of luckily with that, but like a thing that maybe kind of, let's say, lay the foundation in terms of mindset towards that type of thing is like my dad kind of had a bad experience doing that type of thing.
Yeah.
And he got into kind of just stupid shit when he was a kid and stuff. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that, but
if he does, he was the one that
went through that experience. He kind of came out the top of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he kind of instilled a lesson on me. He always said, there's the right road and there's the wrong road.
Yeah.
Always take the right road, because he went down the wrong road. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he came out of the top of it.
Good. Yeah, of course.
And he used to always say that to me. And I was only a kid when he used to say it, man. I didn't really know what it meant. You know what I mean?
Now looking back, you're like,
and
right.
It's like, as the years go on, then it's like you kind of look back. Now, we kind of did it to some extent, you know what I mean? And it kind of, any conversation that we'd have with each other, he'd always mention that, like, no matter what, you know what I mean? Because, well, I don't know why, because, but, yeah, ultimately, he didn't want me to go down the wrong road.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of lay the foundation in terms of mindset and what I kind of view then, like, the right road and the wrong road, you know what I mean? So then, as I kind of progressed, going back onto the timeline in terms of kind of when I was in now sports and stuff, so I was just still in the gym. So obviously, school finished, and I was just, I think I applied for college. I went to college then, and I was studying fitness instruction in college, in Crumlin College. And I dropped out because it was more like sports specific. It was like a 2-year course. The first year was more sports specific and stuff. And it was probably just me being impatient as well. I didn't enjoy it, and I ended up dropping out 2 weeks before it ended. Like, so the 2 weeks before the exams start, or a week before the exams start. Looking back now, it was a bit stupid. I should have just fucking sat in the thing and just finished all the exams, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would have had that qualification under my belt. But yeah, I was kind of, I wasn't doing anything. Like, I was just in a routine of kind of training, but that wasn't really, like, it was kind of, obviously it was good for me to be doing something as opposed to not doing anything. Because I was in a state where I had no job. I was on the social welfare, getting €112 per week. And it was rough. Like, all I used to do was, it was a pretty shit time in my life as well. I kind of did, that was probably the time where I kind of probably suffered most in terms of my mental health.
Yeah.
And at the time I had no clue that I kind of was kind of, was more kind of anxiety based stuff that I had.
Mm.
Whether that's a mental health problem, I'm not 100% sure. I don't necessarily.
It's obviously not an illness, but it's,
yeah,
mental problem that you suffer with.
If it's affecting you negatively, and it definitely was. You
and
know
you
what
create
I mean?
Them problems yourself with anxiety. That's what anxiety is. It's you creating a problem that might not even be there, but you're telling yourself it is there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So it's just like, I'd wake up, go to the gym, spend the 2-3 hours in the gym, come home, and then just sit home and do nothing. You know what I mean? I was doing that day in, day out. And I'd always have conversations with my dad and stuff, and he was like, you need to get a job. You need to be doing something, because it's like, I was getting fuck all money per week. Obviously had rent as well to pay too.
The minute you get your wages, it's gone.
£50 on rent. I had £50 left for myself for the week. Like, you know what I mean?
That's why I feel to supply the fitness.
Definitely, you know what I mean? And I was definitely bulking on a budget anyway back then too.
McDonald's.
And he was just, again, we were having murder all the time. Like, I didn't really have, well, I did have a good relationship with him, but we were always kind of having that conversation where you need to get a job, you need to do something with your life. And I was like,
he just wants to see you succeed.
100%, you know what I mean? But at that time, I didn't see it like that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was just focused on doing the gym. I was against the whole, and still people are, against the whole thing of doing a 9-to-5 job, doing something that they hate doing, you know what I mean? But I wanted to skip that and go into something that I enjoy doing straight away.
Yeah.
Me just being naive, you know what I mean, about the whole situation.
It can be a negative thing, but I don't think it's a bad thing to not want that, do you know what I mean? You look at yourself as somebody better than just sitting on an office chair. Now, I'm not saying anybody listening to this sitting on an office chair is bad, but for a personal perspective, you wanted more from yourself than just that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And obviously, not working, and like, your dad doesn't see that.
Yeah.
It goes back to a lot of athletes and stuff like that who's like, their mas and dads wanted to be doctors, and they're like, no, you know, you're going to college. And then when they drop out of college and all, they're like, you're going to be a nobody. And all of a sudden, they're making millions because they're an athlete, because they've done what they love. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So there can be a positive side of it. But your dad obviously didn't see it at the time, but let you go back into it.
Because he's just old school, you know what I mean? He's like, he's up, you work, and then that's it, that's your life. But it was probably like the social media side of things that kind of influenced my mindset as well. Well, it definitely was. That was a big factor of kind of escaping the matrix and all that. Now, there is kind of some relevance to it and stuff, but a lot of it is, it can be bullshit, you know what I mean? And that kind of, I was so stuck in that mindset where it's like, I can't do something that I don't enjoy. Yeah. Like, AKA, I had the flip job, you know what I mean? I can't sit in an office doing any of that shit. But eventually I had to, so I obviously was in and out of different jobs and stuff, and I learned a lesson from doing them type of jobs that I didn't like doing. It was like, my dad wasn't necessarily just, there was a core message he was trying to get across to me. It was like, adopt responsibility for your life, you know what I mean? And it's like, ultimately that's where your meaning for your life is going to come from, you know what I mean? Because I feel like people with mental health problems nowadays, maybe a thing that can be contributing towards that is like a lack of purpose, you know what I mean? You have nothing to do. Now obviously there is the whole side of things of clinical depression and stuff.
I think you're 100% spot on for someone that's so passionate about what, I think you're spot on.
There's a difference between like clinical depression and your life is just not in order.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of young fellas and even girls as well, it's like you don't kind of have your life in order. You know what I mean? You don't have like a reward in life in terms of like your career, your family, an intimate relationship. And I feel like once you kind of are satisfied from them three things, then obviously your life is more and more order.
And then you have a structure,
you know what I mean? I didn't have that. I was just going to the gym, and it was like, that's why I loved the gym so much as well, because it kind of gave me an opportunity to kind of realize that the more stress you put your body under, the more kind of stronger you can be at the end of it. You know what I mean? So like, that was kind of helped me so much. And that's a thing that people overlook as well with the gym, is like, do you think you just go in and lift a few weights and that's it? But no, it's a mental
journey.
It's
a whole lot more, you know what I mean?
And that was definitely a big thing that kind of led me to where I am today. Well, obviously I'm a fucking PT, but and then after that I kind of went through the shit of kind of doing the jobs that I didn't enjoy doing, and it was kind of down to my own naivety as well. I was like, I was kind of going into things with a bad mindset
already,
like,
and then
this is going to be shit, and it's going to be way, then I'm making it way worse of myself than it actually is then. You know what I mean? And I started to be aware of that then. I was like, you're making it way worse than yourself, so kind of go into things with a better perspective and things will be a bit better, well, at least better than what I'm kind of imagining things are going to be then, you know? So that kind of helped. And then just over time then, I kind of, what did I do from there? Yeah, so we kind of saved up some money and went and done a PT course in NTC, National Training College. Done that for 9 weeks. It was like a short-term, intense course. Got me qualification, and then I didn't actually use my qualification straight away. I was, again, in and out of jobs, doing some things. I was on and off to social welfare at the time as well, doing that too. And then eventually I got the job in Field Fit and the gym that I'm working at now, I'm the gym manager here.
So you've been through all that to get to where you are, and then what made
what made you fall into the issue we just talked about?
Yeah, actually, sorry, you kind of went on a tangent.
Yeah,
there, kind of went across that point.
This is the last topic that we just want to touch on, bro. But I just want, because not nobody that I know personally, anyway, I know a few people that have gone homeless, friends of mine and stuff, but I've never actually got into it and discussed it properly, like, and I should have, you know what I mean? No, but like, I've had other friends as well, Adam, who have gone through it, and like, they've told me about it, but I've never actually got the details and what it's actually like, and especially mentally, like, what that can do to you. So just in this small little piece yourself, just you speaking.
Yeah, but first things first, like, briefly tell people just a little bit, not too specific, you know, like, could be no one's business, but
in terms of how we got to that position.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna go into too much detail.
You don't want to,
because I don't feel I'm comfortable enough to go into that type of detail. But like, I was living with my mom in her apartment. She kind of had her own problems. It was kind of a bit of a toxic environment for me to be in. So my best choice was to kind of get out of that environment. You know what I mean? To sum it all up. So yeah, I went, like, to be honest, people kind of view this whole homeless situation as like a, like, I wasn't out on the streets, I was in a homeless hostel, so it wasn't that bad, you know what I mean? At least I don't view it as that bad. I say now it's one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it's made the person I am
look
today.
At your, you know what I mean? And like, even like, going back on that, like, you're very well spoken, you can really hold the conversation, you can honestly, bro, not just blowing smoke up your arse here, but even the times we just sat back there and you could speak for ages, you know what
we'll
I mean?
We'll take over this podcast now.
No, but you have, that's all that stuff that happens. Like, I always go back to it myself, don't I, when I'm talking about mental health. It's like, everything that near enough broke me, that genuinely near enough broke me, I told you earlier, to the point of where this is it, I can't do this anymore, is everything that happened and me understanding that that's rock bottom. I'm never going to go there again. And I'm going to make sure that everything I do in my life has purpose, so that I do not go back to that.
You've experienced, I experienced the exact same thing. Like, that night when I went homeless, so what happened was, I was, my cousin helped me out, my cousin Niamh helped me out. She was, she let me stay on our sofa, I think, for the week, that week, until I kind of got things sorted and stuff. Because it's a place you need to go to in terms of like registering yourself for register yourself homeless, all that stuff. So I stayed in her couch for a week, and then I went to that place, and they, I got a place pretty quick. I was up in Rathmines, is a homeless hostel up there. I went up there, and yeah, going back to your points, like, the morning after, like, the first night I spent in the hostel was a bit fucked, because it's a new environment, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen, like, but that next morning I was like, I'm in probably the worst situation I'll ever be in, and the only way is just forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just put the blinkers on, and I just, there was a positive and a negative to take from it, because I was just literally going, spending all my energy on work. I was just working 16 hours a day. Wake up 5 o'clock, in work for 6, and wouldn't come home until 10 o'clock.
Sorry for interrupting. Was this before you met the fiance then? When you went through all of that?
Yeah. So I'll get into that. I was kind of, so I spent, I think it was 6 or 7 months in total, I spent in the homeless hostel.
Jesus Christ.
The time actually flew in, I think.
I didn't know that myself. I knew you were there for a while, but I didn't fucking know.
I was thinking a couple of weeks, man, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Maybe a month. Six, 7 months.
6, 7 months, I think
it was. And was it in the same hostel the whole time?
Same place, yeah. Now, to be fair, the hostel that I was staying in, they told me that it was one of the best hostels around. Like, you don't get all the fucking them type of people in it and stuff, you know what I mean?
Stragglers.
For at least, like, there obviously there was a some, but you kind of separate you out within the hostel.
Yeah.
Because I went in first, and they put me in a room with them type of people, and they kind of knew that I was kind of, I was a genuine young fella, I wasn't doing anything like that. And they kind of separated me out into a different room. So I was sharing with two other people. Have a bathroom that you'd share with them two other people as well. But the two people that I was staying with, one of the person was a fucking movie producer. He was producing movies. He's going out, I think he was flying over to, I think it was America. I went in that night, and he was flying over to America the following day to produce movies and stuff. And then the other bloke was sitting beside me. He was had a degree in some like chemistry and science, like a top scientist.
This is the thing, right?
And I'm like, this is fucking mad. And it kind of opened me perspective. It was like, people kind of have this idea of people that's staying in the homeless hostel as these people that are low, they don't have anything going for them.
Addicts.
They're drug addicts. Exactly, alcoholics. And they're just wasters, basically. Yeah,
that's always going to make
but
the point. The people
I met in the hostel, them two people I was staying with, they're two of the most
successful.
Genuine people. Now, to be honest, there was people moving in now my room and stuff, and I experienced that are fucking wasters, if you want to say that word, you know what I mean? Well, actually, no, I don't really like using that word, but the word that you kind of are the people that you meet, like in situations that you don't expect to meet them people, is fucking it's crazy.
I've
like,
met homeless men who have genuine jobs who just fell short, whose missus might have cheated on them while he owned the house and stuff like that, or a divorce, and then all of a sudden they're homeless. But when you say the word homeless, everyone just seems to think it's addicts, alcoholics, the people you see begging on the street, that's homeless. Yeah. It's not. There's way more than that.
They're all painted with the same brush.
Yeah. Unfortunately. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. Because even some addicts and some alcoholics, like, they just fell on hard times and probably ended up on the bottle. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like made the decision to go, I'm just going to neck this bottle every single day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Some of them might have had something that happened in their life, or a person they lost, or lost family member, and then end up on the bot, and then you end up like that. But then they're all painted with the same brush, as we said there, addicts. And I'm not even going to use the word people use for these people, but you know the word I'm thinking of. Do you know what I mean?
He's
just that.
Yeah.
And it's way more than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've met thousands of hundreds of homeless people who are genuinely just ended up in a bad spot. Had to move out of family, or as I said, divorced, or in a bad relationship that turned toxic, and they ended up on the streets. You know what I mean? It's not just all just one specific type of person.
No, that's
you're not
thing,
one of
like,
them people either. Do you know what I mean?
And that's the thing, is you don't know what life's going to show at you. You know what I mean? You don't know what's around the corner. Could be something great, could be something bad. But you just take and just deal with that situation. And I feel like that's what kind of probably got me through that experience. Was like, I feel like I kind of have a good mindset on things, you know what I mean? I have a good overall perspective on things, and that definitely contributed towards me kind of getting through that. I don't really view it as a tough situation, but that situation, you know what I mean? And then I had something to focus on. Going back to the thing of, like, let's say people with mental health problems, it's like, if you have a purpose, I think it was Nietzsche who said, it's a good quote, it was like, any man that knows his why can bear almost any how. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's some serious shit. And that's like, even touching on that, like, that's a thing that I kind of studied as well when I was kind of younger. Around a teenager, I started reading like Stoicism. I'm not sure if you'd heard or not. It's
more. Yeah, we have a book about that.
Yeah.
I'm reading it.
So it's like this ancient Greek philosophy, all these like Roman emperors kind of lived by and stuff,
Marcus Aurelius and all. Yeah,
Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, stuff like that. I read them books. and like their main, like their core message is like, focus on what's in your control and disregard what's not. You know what I mean?
And accept whatever situation you're
exactly,
in.
Exactly. Like,
the best day over.
Control your emotions in the most adverse conditions. You know what I mean? And once you can kind of do that, it's like, you can kind of take on anything there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a misconception people have about Stoicism is a lot of people think that we have to repress our emotions, and that's just not true. You can feel it, feel the emotions, but just control it and make the best out of them emotions. Make sure it doesn't consume you. Just
and on that note, we'll leave that on a positive. We can even bring Adam back for a second guest episode, because he takes control of the whole episode anyway. Well, no, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot,
thank
boys,
for having
me on.
And thank you very much.
All we say is like, thank guys, bye bye. Tell the world and send me one freedom, come, one freedom, one freedom. Tell the world and send me one freedom.